And people do this in 7 days of going all in. At the end of 7 days, their body looks like, genetically, with all the metabolites, that they're literally in a different environment.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Newsflash, you can lose weight like a celebrity without being a celebrity. New Glucotrim from GNC delivers serious results with a proven formula that features ingredients derived from nature, like berberine. And the best part? You don't need a crazy expensive prescription. Glucotrim works with your body to support healthy blood sugar and protect lean muscle mass, unlike other products out there. And did I mention it's caffeine-free? So if you want real results, get on that celebrity weight loss level with New Glucotrim. Get it at GNC.
Your entire life you've been told to save, but has anyone helped you figure out how to spend? With Fidelity Income Planning, get help creating a personalized plan for cash flow even when you're not working. One that includes your 401k and all your other accounts. Make informed decisions that best fit your life ahead, whether one-on-one or through our planning tools. Learn more at fidelity.com/income planning. Advisory services provided by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC for a fee. Brokerage services by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC.
I feel like a lot of people see you, Joe, and they see that you've got this mastery level of this. You've been teaching this for a long time and studying this. You've now got scientists and universities and research and all these different things proving the results in the your studies over the last 20 plus years. 30 years now you've been doing this, 20 plus?
A long time.
Since you were born, right? Yeah. And I'm curious, and I think a lot of people listening or watching that are could be curious about what is your thing that might come in every now and then as a limiting belief for you.
Oh God.
Or something that
I'm no different.
Holds you
I'm
back.
No different than anybody else. I mean, of course. I mean,
and what are those things then that hold you back or that maybe limit you or get you into the memories of a fear state as opposed to the future?
Look, it takes a lot for me to do what I do. I mean, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of people that would love to see me fail, you know, and the beauty behind my perseverance is that we're uncovering some really powerful truths for people to like really embrace. Mm-hmm. Like I keep telling the scientists, I can't believe this is the truth. I tell them that, like, I can't believe this is the truth. We have the evidence right there that you could make your brain work better in 4 days. You could make your heart work better in 4 days. You could make your immune system 50% stronger in 4 days. You could regulate 8 different genes in 4 days that are all promoting neurogenesis and stem cell production and oxidative balance and all kinds of wonderful things that cellular structures enhanced. All of this stuff is really cool because if you don't know that that's possible, right, then it doesn't exist for you, right? Like if you're unconscious to the fact that you could heal yourself, you'll make the same choices you always do. So I'm challenged in my own way at a different level to do my best, to do the right, make the right choices all the time. And sometimes those choices, I can't rely on anybody else but me to make those choices because nobody else knows what it's like to be me than me. Even right. My closest friends think they know me, but when it comes down to making the choice, it's a lonely moment, right? Because I'm doing my best to try to preserve this work and to inspire people to apply it in their lives as many ways as I can. So a lot of times I get discouraged, like, oh my God, like, another challenge. But, you know, I think, you know, when I'm truly in the right zone, I think the only way that we actually can grow in our lives is to be challenged, right? So, and I think that the greater we evolve, or the greater we become, I think the greater the challenges, you know. And so I have my own set of challenges that I have to really retreat from my life. I have to spend a lot of time alone, and I have to remember that vision, and I have to get beyond all those other things that say, "Wow, my God, this might be a good time for you to quit,"
or really?
"This is a good time for you to say, wow, this is getting pretty intense."
What would you say is the biggest challenge? Is it the internal conversation about just?
No, it's just a lot of moving parts. We have a big team. We run events for thousands of people. We have staff. We have volunteers. We have scientists. We have papers. I mean, we have growth. We have websites, social media, and we have. It's all just a lot
of moving parts.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. And so I think for me personally, I guess I could say this is that what I love to do more than anything else is to create, right? I mean, the meditations that I develop and the things that I think about and the music that we work on creating, all that stuff, we've got great science to show. I know now what music works. I know what words work. I know the rhythm, I know the cadence, I know the mathematics of music that works really well. So like that stuff is the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where I want to be in a studio and with the sound and making the right meditations for people to. But I'm doing a lot of things over here. So the balance in my life to be able to make time for myself and the people that I love and keep that private and keep that special and at the same time interface with the world and provide them the tools to make measurable changes in their lives. And, you know, you come up against a lot of challenges in that process.
You know? What do you think will be the biggest challenge you face over the next few years?
Either
personally, professionally, spiritually,
physically? I really just think it's my balance. You know, I mean, and we run a week-long event.
Once a month.
Yeah, right. we're going, you know, 6-5 in the morning till 7-8 at night, but it doesn't matter to me because that's the easy part. Being at an event is like a spiritual rave. I mean, our events are like nothing you'll ever see.
I've had so many people go that listen to our interviews and they go and they're just like, it's incredible. You have to come. So this year.
You're not allowed.
I'm sneaking in, breaking through security.
You can't come.
Disguising myself.
But I mean, I have a lot of challenges, just like anybody. I'm no different than you. You know, I react. You know, of course. And you know, the question I have for myself is, how long are you going to do that for? Like, how long are you going to keep that up? Like, well, you know better. So defaulting and remembering, I think, is such a great thing for us to do. So I work on that.
So you might default to a reaction for, and you give yourself, what, an hour or 2 hours?
No, I try to keep it under
10, 15 minutes, but
well,
then
of course. Sometimes it's easier than others, just like anything else.
What's the biggest trigger for you? I'm curious. What's the thing that gives you a default reaction that you're like, I know I need to improve that?
God, I think the thing that I care the most about is really just keeping this work as pure as possible. I think I care a lot about that.
People try to muck it up or something?
Well, there's always variations of it, you know. Uh-huh. So I guess if I was really honest, I would want to say that I'd want to keep it as pure as possible. That's what I work on.
How do you keep it pure? What's pure mean?
Well, just in its original version, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Your morning and evening meditation is incredible. I don't know if people... Yeah.
Well, that's a great example of metacognition. That's a great example of reminding yourself of who you want to be and who you no longer want to be. And then check in at the end of the day. You say, I had a whole lifetime today. How'd I do?
It's incredible. And your evening meditation, I listen to the morning one and the evening often. And the evening one, you have this thing where it's like, how did I show up? Did I show up as my best version of myself? Mm-hmm. And did I do the things I said I was going to do? And, you know, and it's a beautiful reminder of having accountability.
Yeah. Accountability is one of the three things that creates excellence. You know, accountability is basically owning what you say you're going to do or what you're asked to do. The other element, of course, is competence. You got to be really good at it. And if it takes you your whole life to get good at it, get good at it. And if you have a vision or a mission that's bigger than you and you put those three things together, you have a lot of excellence in an individual.
Mm-hmm. vision bigger than you.
Yeah, you got to be able to master your craft. You got to be really accountable and responsible for yourself. You got to own yourself, and you got to have that vision, and you got to keep that vision alive. And that's heading in a vision, purpose, mission is ongoing. You could have a mission to be healthy. You could have a mission to be wealthy. You could have a mission. You could have a purpose to be, you know, to gain knowledge. There's never an end, right?
Right.
So it's a direction. The goals we set up along the line of our vision. It's just to remind us that we're still on course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not arriving at those goals, then we've lost our vision.
Do you feel like each individual should have a vision statement for their personal or professional life?
No.
Or just have an idea of a vision in your mind?
No. I think it's really important for us to be curious. I mean, I'm the best when I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I always say, Joe Dispenza, what do you know? Sit down. Don't turn your phone on. Shut it off. Answer the question. What do you know? Like, what do you really believe you create reality? At what point do you stop believing that, you know? I mean, I want to know. I want to think that through all the way, because I think the more we understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, I think the how gets easier,
mm-hmm.
right? So I spend a lot of time reviewing knowledge and information and thinking about ways to teach it better or easier for people that make it more practical,
yes.
more simple. And I can tell you there's such a quickening going on in our culture right now. People are so ready to really embrace this information. They've had it doing
mm-hmm.
in other ways. And so taking that time to really think and contemplate is such an important process, because when it gets stale, and it gets routine and it gets boring, you just forgot what you were doing and why you're doing it, right? And it's time to back up and relearn it and get down to the basics again.
What was the biggest discovery you found in the last 5 to 10 years based on practicing, trying, learning, research? What was the thing that was like, wow, this is a new thing, or a thing I thought that was going to work and it's actually working?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know if we have enough time for that, but we have the research that we're doing right now, Lewis. We'll give you an example, like a drug study. You know, when you do a drug study, it's about 18-25% correlative cause and effect, right?
Uh-huh.
Our studies are 75% cause and effect. There's no pharmaceutical that looks anything like our studies. And the amount of wonderful metabolites that are being created in people's bodies.
What is a metabolite?
It's like a cell is releasing information. Like, what is the information? Is that the cell is saying, I'm in growth, or I'm in trouble, I'm in emergency, I'm in disease,
uh-huh.
right? So in 7 days at a week-long event, we discovered that people make thousands of different metabolites to show that their body is in a very different environment, very healthy environment. And
then when they walked in, then, in the beginning.
Yeah, and when they walked, dramatic changes. And I keep saying to the scientists, where are those chemicals coming from?
Where are they coming from?
They're certainly not coming from some pill that you're taking. It's coming from within us.
Oh.
And our nervous system is the greatest pharmacy in the world. I mean, you take blood from an advanced meditator that hits a certain brainwave state. We capture that moment of connection. There's information in their blood that causes them to be immune to viruses, any virus. You take the blood of the advanced meditator and you subject it to a uterine cancer cell, and 70% of the energy is diminished in the cancer cell. Lights are out.
Mm.
That
it
just
shuts it down.
Shuts it down. What do cancer cells want to do? They want to move and they want to multiply.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you take away energy, they can't move, they can't multiply. It's exactly what we're seeing in our testimonials. You take the blood of an advanced meditator and you're subject to a neuron, it downregulates the gene for Alzheimer's. Like, there's wholeness. There's information in that. In the chemistry of their blood, that's not coming from anywhere out there. Their eyes are closed. The music's playing in the background.
Right.
They're not eating. They're not saying. They're not doing. They're sitting still.
They're not being massaged. They're not having liquid.
They're not taking any injections. No IVs. They're making strong compounds in their body.
That's from within.
From within.
Is that from thought into brain, into heart, body?
No, back to our original conversation
yes.
about putting our attention on matter and putting our attention on energy. Well, the quantum field, right, is, you know, you look at reality, it's a particle and the wave, right? A particle is matter, the wave is energy. Okay, so it's a scientific fact that we perceive less than 1% of reality. And as a matter of fact, the mathematics say it's 100% that we perceive less than 1% of reality. So don't exclude yourself from that as well. So we're missing out on a lot, right?
Okay. So our perceptions, our faculties are only perceiving 1% of what's actually real.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's amazing.
So our sight, our taste, our smell, only 1% of our reality, of what's actually...
Wow. Yeah, so we're missing out on a lot.
So even if we could get to 2 or 3%, it'd be a whole new world.
Called enlightenment, So then what we teach people to do is take their attention off the particle, off matter, and put it on energy. And you can't experience that energy with your senses. So you're going to experience it with your awareness, okay? So what happens, okay? Yes. Person changes their brain waves from high beta, that aroused state we talked about earlier. They start sensing space. Their brain waves slow down to alpha. Why? Because when you're sensing, you're not analyzing and thinking. If you're not analyzing and thinking, you're not in beta. So you start dropping down, and the brain switches to alpha. And in alpha, your inner world tends to be more real than your outer world. Alpha is a creative state, okay? So... in beta, the voice in your head is always talking to you. Do this, do that. It's that default, right? In alpha, the voice kind of goes away, and you see more in images and pictures. You're dreaming, right? You're remembering stuff, and it's more imagery, right? So it's an imaginary state. When we see people move into that state, they don't just move into any kind of alpha. They move into that coherent alpha. Now the whole brain is in cadence. It's sending out very strong signals, right? If you can get a person dialed down into theta, where they're completely relaxed, the body is so relaxed that it's resting in a light sleep.
Yes.
And they're still awake and they're conscious. The door between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind is wide open to information. In fact, theta is a hypnotic state. So when you're being hypnotized, you're suggestible to whatever somebody's telling you, right? But if you're in a meditation and you're suggestible to information, but your eyes are closed, there's music playing in the background, you're disconnected from your environment, there's only one other place information can come from, and that's frequency. Frequency carries information. Wi-Fi signals, radio waves, TV waves, they're all carrying information, and that antenna decodes it. Okay.
It's just kind of crazy when you think about it. You know, 10 years ago, if you'd have said, hey, you're going to have a physical device and you can see someone across the world.
Yeah.
We'd have been like, what? How is this even possible?
So Star Trek, right?
It's crazy, right?
So that's exactly what the brain does. It transduces frequency into very profound experiences internally. And when that happens, the person is suggestible to information. The more coherent their brain and heart is, the more there's a resonance between the unified field, which is an orderly field, there's order, and the order in their brain, and the brain can decode frequency, and all of a sudden the person goes into these brilliant, brilliant states of high gamma. Not a little gamma, not a lot of gamma.
And what happens when we're in a high state of gamma?
They're in a very aroused state.
Now the spiritually aroused.
No, the arousal is not fear. Okay. The arousal is not pain, and the arousal is not aggression. The arousal is ecstasy. The person is feeling a very familiar, unfamiliar feeling where they feel like they forgot something that they knew all their entire life. They start connecting to energy, and there's no word. People say bliss, ecstasy, more love than I could ever explain. I'm so grateful.
Transcendence,
whatever that is. And we actually can induce that state. We can predict it, and we can replicate it. And the scans look exactly the same. And it's not the thinking brain that is in that aroused state. The lights are out there. They're in theta. They're shut out. It's the limbic brain, the seat of the autonomic nervous system, that's sending such fast, coherent information to every single cell in the body. And it's energy that's touching the cell, and the person feels like they're electric. Feel like there's an awakening that takes place. Now, what comes with that many times is a biological upgrade. Energy starts to inform matter. There's a tumor, now it's gone. There's the Parkinson's, now it's gone. There's the eczema, now it's gone.
You see this all the time at your
events. Yeah, it's kind of wild. Yeah. So what we're doing is we're drawing the blood
from people at the event.
That have that experience right after they have that experience.
Really?
And 24 hours later. And we're finding the most incredible things in that blood. That's what I keep saying. Where's that all those chemicals coming from? Where are those
metabolites? It's not from a medicine.
It's so cool. It's coming from within us, right? So the data that we have, we did the largest microbiome study in the world, actually. Wow. We did 1,000 people, and we had, measured, human microbiome. And there's more cells that live in your body than the cells that make up your body, and they have dramatic influences on so many different functions in our body. And in just our preliminary studies, we saw the microbiome that's associated with cancer growth dramatically reduced.
Wow.
We saw the microbiome that's associated with inflammation dramatically reduced. We found the microbiome that causes a person to be resistant from treatment for cancer significantly reduced. Like, you're just finding all this crazy stuff.
When these scientists are seeing this data, that they're working with the people that come into your events, and they're seeing this massive reduction.
They were all skeptics, by the way.
Yeah, and what do they say when they see the results? Are they like,
No, in the beginning, they were running the tests, the same tests, over and over again, expecting to get a different result.
Yeah.
And I said to them, you're changing your belief. You're doing that right now. You're changing a belief right now. They're looking and seeing, oh my God, cells are not behaving the way they should in this plasma.
Let's run it again.
Let's run it again. Let's do it another way. Yeah. Let's do it. And they tried all the different ways, and they're like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is we've never seen anything like this before. So again, why is that important? The testimony of the person who stands on the stage and says, I didn't have $2 to rub together, and now I'm worth hundreds of millions of dollars. The person who says, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, it was in my bones, it was in my liver, it was in my lungs, it was in my, my pelvic organs. This is not a drop of cancer in her blood. And this happens all the time. It's the 4-minute mile.
My career not only requires me to travel, but also gives me the freedom to. Traveling has brought me so many positive experiences and memories. Like that time I spent the holidays at an Airbnb in Big Bear with some of my extended family, and it was the perfect way to come together and connect with my family that I don't see that often. And if you have a similar setup that allows you to travel often, have you ever thought about your empty home while you're gone? More specifically, how you can make some extra money by keeping your home occupied while you're out of town. I'm a big advocate for setting up a side hustle to give you an extra stream of income, and Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start. Many people host on Airbnb, including some friends of mine, but there are some people out there who've never even realized their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and it's a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, you've got yourself an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's the person in the audience who's looking at truth. That person's the example of truth. Truth is right in front of them, and the story is not glamorous. You know, they got worse before they got better. They lost things. The doctors told them they were going to die. I mean, they had every reason to give up on themselves. Mm-hmm. And man, when you hear those stories, I mean, the whole audience is in tears. And invariably, somebody in the room is looking at them and saying, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yes.
Invariably, when we put up that data, the scientists put it up. I always say, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying this. The data is saying that. Like, when people see that data, they're so encouraged. That's the truth. That's the truth. Like, wow, we are greater than we think. We're more powerful than we know. We're more unlimited than we could ever dream, right? And we're just starting to push that envelope a little bit, and we have never been disappointed. We do these experiments with random event generators, right?
With what?
A random event generator.
Random event generator.
Like, so it's a sophisticated coin toss.
Uh-huh.
And you toss a coin, you keep tossing it. The more you toss it, the more it's going to be 50-50. 50% heads, 50% tails. The more you toss it, it's going to be the 50% average. So this programmed machine flips a coin 1,000 times in 1 second. We get a collective network of observers, a collective consciousness of people that are all resonating at the same frequency. We teach them how to do that. And the moment they go into a certain state, random events are no longer random and they become very intentional. In other words, they're influencing a machine that's programmed to go 50-50 to behave in a very different way. Their energy is somehow altering the mechanism of a machine.
Huh, really?
Over and over again. So then, okay, so something's happening where random events are no longer random. They're becoming more intentional. And the collective network of observers that have brain and heart coherence somehow can produce measurable effects in reality. Okay, so then we said, God, it happened every time. Let's take cells and let's program these bacterial cells to either make a red protein or a green protein, and it's a 50-50 shot too. And of course, if you look at a colony of bacteria, you see this kind of brownish color, and if you get really close, there's red ones and there's green ones, and it's usually 50-50. You get a whole group of people together, and I tell them to focus on green.
Come on.
All of a sudden, the colony of cells switch over to
Wow.
So again, like, if you don't know that that's possible,
You'd be skeptical,
but the scientists are scratching their heads saying, we're up all night trying to figure this stuff out, right?
Like, what are they saying is the cause of it?
There has to be some quantum entanglement, so we're bringing in quantum theorists, you know, theoretical physicists, information physicists. We have, just all kinds of different, we're doing functional MRIs now, looking at brains, we can actually study brains when people are walking now. I mean, we're trying to piece together what exactly it is. And so to me, that's a good reason to get up in the morning.
Keep learning and discovering and creating. And
every time we do an experiment, we're never disappointed. And the cool thing about it, more than anything else for me, is that you don't have to be a Buddhist monk. You don't have to have 40 years of devotion. You don't have to, in fact, it's better off that you don't. A lot of guys that come that their girlfriends or their wives bring them, they're just like, hey, dude, listen, I have no idea. I don't know anything about this. Those are the guys that do the best.
Kind of forced to come.
Yeah, no, yeah. They come and they're like, I don't know anything. Just tell me what to do. Yeah, they do exactly what we tell them to do. We had some really, really elite forces, come recently that those guys had some rough roads, with
trauma.
Traumas. So,
yeah.
Completely different guys. Wow. Completely different guys. I mean, completely different. Yeah.
I'm curious your thoughts on, I have two questions. One that just came to me. What do you think, if you could predict the future about what is coming in terms of discoveries in this work that you're doing in the next 10 years, possible for us to even go even farther than you're seeing
now? I think we'll have a very strong intervention in cancer.
Intervention in cancer?
Yeah. We'll have some really important data to show people that they can turn that around. We have too many case histories and we have too much really good data right now. I think we'll change a lot with people that have chronic pain and inflammation. We have great data to change anxiety and depression without any exogenous substance. PTSD, we have great results with that. Our coherence healings, where we're healing other people. Blind people are seeing. I mean, deaf people are hearing. I mean, people with paralyzed limbs are lifting their arms above their heads again. I mean, this is after 10 years of being...
That's great.
So I've seen... If you ask Joe Dispenza, 2 years ago, do you think you'd be seeing what you'd be seeing today? I'd be like,
no.
Maybe once or twice. It's just, we had so many people step out of wheelchairs at our events. I mean, it happens.
It's happening over and over now.
Over and over again. It's just part of the collective consciousness.
Interesting.
And I think more than anything else, collective networks of observers determine reality.
Mm.
And who controls the information, the right information, controls reality. And so my job, my interest, is to give people the information to empower them to be the creator of their life and not be stuck in the program that they need someone or something or to make them happy or to change their state. I mean, people are doing it all the time now, and that's just who we are as human beings, right?
So when you say collective network, I'm curious, can a group of people influence healing in another person?
Yeah. Yeah,
easily. Like if they're all state of emotional belief.
My answer is 100%.
You got 1,000? Is it 1,000?
No, just 8, 7, 6 people with one person.
And what would that group of people need to be thinking, feeling, being?
Oh my God! You have to come to an event, bro. You have to come. It's just like hitting a golf ball. Just learn the formula and get really good at it. And we have people that are really, really good at it.
They can master this stuff.
They can hit a target. They have very little disbelief that they could do it, right?
And so, that belief causes them to create.
Right, what we discovered, it's not the number of people with the most amount of emotion, amount of energy. You got a stadium full of people, and that's very entropic energy. It's the collective network that's sending the greatest signal. That's brain and heart coherence. Now, that's information, right? That's what seems to entrain matter.
And it's learning how to send that signal with the right energy.
Yeah, and it's just training. The 7 days you go all in, I can tell you, at the end of seven days, you'll be different. I'm excited for this.
Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, mental health seems to be, you mentioned kind of anxiety, depression, and these different states that people could come in with, especially people with trauma from the past, whether it be ex-military, special forces, people that see and maybe have to do certain things that they're not excited about and that has these traumas.
Prisoners,
yeah. Mental health just seems like something everyone's talking about with the rise of a lot of things. COVID, depression, social media, disconnection, all these different things. What is your stance?
Technology,
yeah. Just the feeling connected but not connected, all these things. What's your thoughts on healing these mental health challenges or
we
diseases?
We have really good data primarily for mental health conditions like PTSD, anxiety, depression, cyclic mood disorders, OCD, things like that. But when it comes to psychoses, we just stay away from that because it's a pathology at that point. And, people can come, but they have to stay on their medications. It's just a little bit different game.
But if people have more depressed states, more...
We have brain scan after brain scan to show that you could change that. Trauma, if you don't know, and again, I don't know everything.
Yes.
But what I do know is that when the brain starts functioning in a level of order or coherence, more neurons are recruited and bigger communities. And that kind of holism that's created is so important. The other thing we realize is that when people really heal their heart, they heal their mind. I have no doubt about that. You cannot do one without the other. And when there's enough energy in the heart, and we've seen this, we've got the technology to see that when the heart starts working, when people start doing it properly, there's this low frequency in the heart that starts to rise. It's only indigenous to the heart because they have their attention on it. Where you place your attention is where you place your energy. So they're filling the gas tank up, and when it gets to a certain point, here comes the parasympathetic nervous system saying, get out of the stress response, get relaxed, and then all of a sudden you think that would be over. But it's not. Then the parasympathetic nervous system drops down and the sympathetic nervous system comes up. And when the sympathetic nervous system comes up, now the person's relaxed and awake. Like they're really relaxed in their heart and they're really awake in their brain. That state is so much better than being stressed out and unconscious and in a program, right? So turns out, when you get to that state, when the heart starts informing the brain, it resets the baseline for the trauma that that's stored in the brain, in the amygdala. It's informing the brain that the event is over. Because the emotion that they're feeling is dragging the body out of the past.
Yes.
Right to the present. And when they feel that glory, that really rich feeling where it's like, oh my God, this is something I haven't felt since I was 9 years old or 6 years old. And it's this familiar feeling in their heart. The words many people use, blows wide open. When they look back at their past, their trauma, the loss, the betrayal, the abuse, sexually, physically, emotionally, so many times the person doesn't want to change one thing.
Why is that?
Because it brought them to this moment. And now the moment is okay, and all of that's okay because I'm okay. And they look back at their betrayers and their abusers, and they have nothing but compassion. They see that, they see the whole thing. They're seeing their past from a greater level of consciousness, right? So now that it resets the baseline, yes, and the event is over. And there goes the endometriosis. There goes the suicidal tendencies. Wow. There goes the rashes. There goes the gum disease, whatever it is. Just the body gets an upgrade. It's no longer believing it's in the same trauma 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because they're living unconsciously or subconsciously in that emotional program, right? So then what happens to that person? They belong to the future now. They no longer belong to the past. And so it's almost like they don't even have to do much now. It's almost like they're happy for no reason. And they're okay with themselves.
Yes.
And when you're okay with yourself, you're okay with everybody. That's just the way it is, right? So this is one woman told a story. She had a lot of abuse in her life, a lot of abuse by a lot of family members. And she was in her meditation, and she thought, I'm doing this all wrong. Like, the amount of emotion just came out of nowhere. And she was about ready to give up. And then she thought about the 9 months or year, however long it was, where she never missed a day of doing her meditation. And she said it was just like, it was such a horrible feeling that she didn't think she could go any further. And then she just said, I'm just going to go one more time. And she just went right past it, and then heart blew wide open.
Wow.
Literally reborn. Literally a different person. Like every biological condition that she had, every mental health condition.
Gone.
All the supplements, all the drugs, all that stuff. Gone away. And so then the question is, what happens when the chemo isn't working? What happens when the radiation isn't working? What happens when the surgery didn't work? What happens when the ketogenic, gluten-free, vegan diet didn't work? What now? Right? What now? Because a cancer researcher on the stage with stage 4 sarcoma. She did all the drug trials.
She was a researcher.
Reached cancer researcher.
And she had the cancer.
Had the cancer. Nothing was working. She did all the drug trials, all the chemo.
She tried the rare, vegan. Rare, she tried the this.
Everything. The rare gene, the 1.001% of the population. She's a physician. She's a researcher. She made sense to her. No cancer in her anywhere. Not in her bones any longer. I mean, not out of the bones. I mean, it's insane. I mean, you ask any physician. If something metastasizes to the bones, you're pretty much going to be with that for
right.
a long, long time. All of a sudden, it's gone. Like, you know, so like, again, those kind of things, those 4 minute miles, give people permission to step yeah. into that same footprint. So what is the point? When all those other things aren't working, and it only means one other thing, it's not going to work unless I change. And nothing changes in my life until I change, right? And that's the thing that people start to understand. It wasn't about her healing. It was about her disbelief. It was about her emotions, that she mismanaged her emotions under too much stress. And she's like, oh my God, nobody's worth this. Like, nobody is worth this. This is not loving to me. I got to stop this. I understand now what I'm doing to my brain and my body by doing this. Like, big moment, right? And you look around and not a lot of other people are thinking this way, but you come to an event and everybody is. But out in the world, you know, it's just the program is like, you need something out there. That didn't work. We have something else for you, right? So that's a lot of taking our power back, you know, in those circumstances.
I'm curious your thoughts on this. I've never done this. I have tons of friends that have done this. Ayahuasca and other types of medicines, right? Yeah. Or plant medicines, I guess they call it, right? Mm-hmm. I've been invited a bunch of times. I know a bunch of people that do this. I've just never done it. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on plant medicines in terms of helping you heal, or or can it really help you, or is it more a crutch? Or
Here's my thought about it, and it's a tightrope for me to walk this. I think that a lot of plant medicines fit into the same receptors, serotonin and melatonin, and they tweak the brain to fire in a different way, which gives us an altered perception from outside of ourselves, which for a lot of people, we need that.
Step away from where you're at.
You're just seeing reality from a different dimension. Yes. You're not seeing it from you. You're seeing it from a different place. And for some people, that journey is painful, and it creates nausea and vomiting, and you know, and some people kind of wind up getting really trapped. And other people have really profound experiences, right? So if the person has the transcendental experience from the plant medicine, my most fundamental important question for them is, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
Is that going to change your lack? Is that going to change your life? If that insight somehow causes you to act on it, because it changes your perception of the world, and it truly causes you to be whatever it is, whatever the experience is, to take that piece with you and use it in some way, that's great. But for many people, insight never changes behavior. Mm. You can understand that your father was overbearing. You can understand that Saturn is in the wrong house. You know, you can, all of that stuff. You could understand that, you know, that there's a chemical imbalance in your brain. None of that. You could understand all kinds of things, but that won't really change your life. Mm. Really? It doesn't really change your life. So there are people who have done 65 ayahuasca sessions because they have cancer and the cancer hasn't changed. My advice to them is try something else.
Right.
Right? Just come on. Let's make a different move here. So so my concern is that this is human nature. Everybody has this, you know. You take something and it makes pain go away. You take something and it gives you an altered perception of whatever. You notice that you got a change in your body. You remember what caused it. And so every time you feel that whatever, you remember to do that, right? So now you got a dependency on something outside of you. So
on a substance outside of you.
Yeah, so right. So now you need that substance in order to take away,
right?
take away the other feeling. That's not what this work is about. This work is about actually self-regulating and changing that feeling without anything outside of you, right? Does that create mystical experiences? Profound mystical experiences in our work. Do we have the data? Yeah, we have great data to suggest that those high gamma states, the person is having a full-on sensory experience without their senses. And the brain is not having a little bit of energy. It's not having a lot of energy. It's having a supernatural amount of energy, like more than you would ever record. Like, the brain is way outside of normal. Way outside of normal. Like, hundreds of standard deviations outside of normal in that state. So it's important then for us to realize that if we're using that substance to regulate our emotional state, I would say to that person, work on changing that emotional state before you take the substance, and then take the substance and have a great trip.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Have a fun trip, right?
What is the biggest fear you have moving forward?
I really don't really have a whole lot of fears in moving forward. I feel really good about my team. I feel really good about our research.
Yeah.
I feel really good about the way we run events. I mean, always, you know, there's always growth pains, you know, and you know, we outgrow things and we have to do things different, you know, differently.
Do you have any personal fears?
No, I just want to stay healthy enough to be able to continue to do this. I'd love to get some people that I trust to be able to help me do some of this, you know, on the stage a little bit more.
Sure.
And I really want to make this work not about me. I never want it to be
That's
about me.
Yeah,
I want
it
to be about you, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do really, you know, I do my best to try to be the example of everything that I teach.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
At Capella University, You'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Is your age out there public?
I think so.
How old are you now?
My body's 60 years old.
Your body's 60?
Yeah.
What's your mind?
Oh, gosh. I think I have a pretty good young mind.
Yeah. Your body's 60?
Yeah.
Holy cow. I didn't even connect with that when you just said that. Yeah. That's amazing. You look incredible.
Thanks, bro.
In a year, I'm going to be 40. Mm-hmm. If you could go back to when you were 40, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, you look incredible at 60. That's amazing. Your energy. It's incredible. If you could go back to 40, which I'm going to be in about a year.
Yeah.
And you could just give me some advice. Or you could go back and give your 40-year-old self some advice.
Yeah.
What would you wish you knew? And what decisions do you wish you would have taken for any area of life? Whether it's flossing your teeth more
financially, or emotionally, would be to lighten up.
Really?
Yeah, just lighten up.
Were you too tight?
No, at 40, I was driven. Yeah. Right, I was driven, and it was okay because I mean, I think you know, being driven is really great. But then, when I started to really want to experiment with creating from the field instead of from matter, if I decided to create something, then I went and did it. Then I didn't let the creation happen because I got in there.
I was driven. I was
in the habit of doing it. Do. Right. So at 40, I just started to experiment with it a little bit more, and I think I learned how to. I had to inhibit the need to kind of do it because on some level I doubted it was going to happen, right? So at 40 I was just starting to experiment a little bit more with this. I mean, this is when I was, you know, getting interested in it. So I probably tell myself to lighten up and make it more playful. I mean, I'm really good when I'm goofy and silly and playful, right? And curious. It's not really good when I'm like rigid and forcing. It's just not me.
But when people act like childlike and they're playful and goofy and silly, What occurs in life when they come from that state versus a driven state?
I think we make room for the unknown. Mm-hmm. I mean, you watch me at events, I'm tired and I'm super happy. Like, tired and happy for me is like the perfect formula. Like, if I'm tired and happy, I see weird things, I have weird experiences.
That's
I get a lot of weird stuff. So, because I think my brain waves are probably in theta, like I'm wide open, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important for people to be curious. Like when I'm wondering, like I'm really wondering, like what would it be like to have this experience? And I really, really go down the rabbit hole with it. I love that, right?
Because
then,
cool.
And if I come to a certain point and I don't know what happens next, I'm going to go look it up. I'm not going to get on social media and say, does anybody know anything about? I'm not going to do that.
Research,
I'm going to own it. I'm going to own that content so that when I sit down to actually create that experience, I have enough information to believe it's possible, right?
Sure,
So I think when nothing is left to conjecture, when nothing's left to superstition, when nothing's left to dogma, and people know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it, the how gets so instrumental because we assign meaning to it. Here's an example. You can take a person and put them in an ice bath. They know nothing about anything. They get an ice bath. In a minute, they're going to be in hypothermia, and that ice bath is going to be really bad for them.
Yes.
Take that same person, teach them a few things, have them assign meaning to it, make them look for the value in it, put them back in the ice bath, turn on the prefrontal cortex, and the prefrontal cortex will silence all the circuits in the brain that say it's bad for you. And now you'll get value out of it. It's the same thing, you know, it's the same exact thing.
Right.
So assign meaning to the act of creation, right? Like, I'm never going to stop learning about that because those are more tools, more raw materials. So I would say, people, you want to be healthy, you want to be wealthy, study.
Yeah.
Get it. Get real. Get
Learn.
Real with the process.
Mm.
So you want to become a mystic? Study the mystics. Read about them. They've done some. Listen to what they're saying, right?
If you want to heal your body and your mind, then go study you and go to one of your events.
Don't study me. Go watch the testimonials.
Yes.
Watch those people. I always say when they send me the testimonials, that's food for me.
Yeah.
I always say, I call them up and I say, she's speaking the truth.
Uh-huh.
And it's not coming from me.
Right.
She's just telling the story. And I always say to people, don't ask her what meditation she did. It has nothing to do with it. It's how she changed.
Yes.
How he changed. He's talking about change. Like, this guy is stepping out of a wheelchair in Cancun with ALS, you know, or some rare, weird condition. He was in a wheelchair. He's walked up to the stage, you know, at the end of the event. And I was backstage with him. He didn't say, how come I'm not all the way healed? He said, you know, I'm just starting to figure this thing, love, out. I think if I can feel deeply, my body, it's going to be good for my body. It's going to be loving to my body. And I know that I can signal the gene if I do it. So he's like, he owns a juice bar, and he's like in the game. Like, he's assigning meaning that if I can feel the emotion ahead of the experience, I'm signaling the gene ahead of the environment. I got to get better at this feeling of love. I got to get more into it. I got to assign meaning to it now. Now I'm going to get greater value from it. Right? I got to get it, right? And then the other thing, people come to a week-long event. They think, I don't think I'm changing. You know people who, you know those people?
Yes. This doesn't work for me.
That you know what? If you go all in, I can tell you that's not the truth.
Right.
So you're crossing the river, but you don't see the evidence yet. Why would you stop? It was like running a marathon. You're halfway through and you're going to quit, right? Mm-hmm. You just keep. I can tell you there are dramatic biological changes that will happen if you go all in.
Yes.
Not in just a small percentage, in almost 100% of the people. Like, everybody who goes all in has profound metabolic changes. So go all in.
Oh man! Every time you come on, I'm inspired. I'm remembering so much about my future, which I love, because I think a lot of us are remembering our past and not our futures, which I love that statement that you share. And it just gives me so much more hope of what's possible for people.
Yeah.
And so many people have been messaging me from the last interview saying, "I went to his event. It's transformed my life. All these different things." And I want everyone to go to drjoedispenza.com and sign up for your you know, website, your newsletter, get on the list. So, because when your events happen every month, they sell out within like minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
So I want people to have access to it. Your books are incredible. They're incredible. Your meditation is, I think it's a must that people should at least explore and try. I love the morning and evening one. There's so many incredible free resources. All the research that you guys are doing is also, I believe, up on the website with all the different research that's available now.
Yeah, of course. There's tons of scientific research.
Everything that you guys want to see is up at drjoedispenza.com. Your social media is great, obviously, so make sure to follow you on social media. How can we be of best support to you right now for this next year before we get you back on in a year?
Be the example. I mean, show the world what greatness looks like. Show the world what love looks like. Show the world what patience looks like. Show the world what leadership looks like. Show the world so that you can give people permission to say, wow, something's different about you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it?
I want that.
Yeah. What is that? Don't go around telling people you need to shorten. Uh-huh. You need to forgive your father. You need to shorten your emotional response. Don't do that. Show the world what it looks like. So they say, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about you that's different? Or that you show up and you're no longer matching the memory they have of you. Like,
who is this person?
Yeah, what happened to you? Yeah. Or what? That's so important for people. Because that means you're out of phase, right? Mm. So the world needs, this is not a time to go to the Himalayas. We need you here. We need you here.
Yes.
We need you to be the example. This is a time to stand up for the truth, right? And we gotta show the world what it looks like. And every single person creates that emergent consciousness. Every bird that's in that pattern, every fish that's in that school that are moving as one mind and one heart, there is no leader. Everybody's leading. This is a time where everybody's got to lead. Mm. This community
absolutely
is the future. No healthcare plan, no religion, excuse me, no government really is going to take care of people the way they should be taken care of right now. And I don't mean that in a secular way. I'm sure there's religions that really take care of people. But what I'm saying is we need to create a collective consciousness and collective networks of observers determine reality.
Mm. Dr. Joe, I'm always grateful for your time. I appreciate and acknowledge you for the mission you're on. I didn't even know you were 60. I thought you were like 48 for some reason. But being how long your body has been on this earth, you don't need to keep showing up every month and doing these week-long events where you're on stage for 15 hours a day and doing these things. You've got enough resources and abundance in your life. You don't need to keep doing this, but you do. And I really acknowledge you for showing up for people, for constantly reinvesting in research to give people more evidence so they have more belief stepping into these things for themselves, and for giving of all of your heart and your mind and soul to humanity and to creating this consciousness. I really acknowledge you. So grateful for you. I appreciate you. I've asked you your three truths many times before. So if people want to hear your three truths, they can go watch or listen to the previous episodes. I recommend people check out the one on love we did a year ago. It's a massive hit. People are loving it. And are finding incredible relationships with themselves that they've never had and with others that they've always wanted. So thank you for your wisdom and advice on love and relationships. And we'll have to have you come back on more. But I appreciate you, and I'm so grateful for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it,
thank
man.
You.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's show with all the important links. And also make sure to share this with a friend and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts as well. I really love hearing feedback from you guys, so share a review over on Apple and let me know what part of this episode resonated with you the most. And if no one's told you lately, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.